Hey, everybody. Welcome to today's fantabulous episode of the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. Visit carlsoncast.com to subscribe. It's a big one. Episode number 117. Our friend Jamie Lissau returns. Did I mention that today's episode is brought to you by our good friends at Sapori Cafe and Catering, Rochester's favorite place for lunch, or you can have them cater your very own special event. Find them on Facebook or Instagram at Sapori Rochester. And did I also mention that the show is brought to you by our friends at Three Heads Brewing, the makers of Rochester's most delicious beer. Remember, folks, do good things and always be kind. And now, over to your devilishly handsome host, me. It's me, Vinny, your host. Aren't you all happy?
I miss Ross.
Nobody misses Ross.
Ross giving you your well-deserved shot in the crotch every morning.
Hey, everybody. Brian Ball's here, too. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
And Billy DeTore's on the couch.
Hey, it's me.
Hey, Billy.
Hi, Vinny. Hi, Brian.
Nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
At the opening of the show.
I appreciate it. Without Ross here, you decided to pull me in to show what sort of witty banter I provided to radio and what got me fired.
No, so. It's just that if no one's sitting on that end of the couch, it creaks.
Oh, okay.
That's why we had
the increase of no one sitting in it. Stuff, Brian. I got to tell you, I am very happy to have Jamie Lissau back in the studio. A lot has happened in his life since the last time he visited. So we're going to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about his new writing gig on Man with a Plan on CBS. So lots of interesting things happening with Jamie. He's going to be here for four shows this weekend. You get your tickets now. Now, I got to throw out the hard sell because I'm getting more and more excited. St. Patrick's Day evening, you know what's happening here.
I'm getting plastered.
Here?
Well, St. Patrick's Day. It's an obligation to my people.
Absolutely, but I would recommend doing it here at Comedy at the Carlson. Because Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross are going to be here.
It's
going to be nuts. Are you coming, Billy?
I think I am. I'm a huge wrestling fan. I grew up with Tony and JR.
Back out, Billy!
On WCW originally, then they went over to WWF or WWE, excuse me. Don't want to get in trouble with the World Wildlife Foundation.
Yes, they get very upset.
They're very litigious.
They're just like, listen, we're trying to save polar bears. We don't need to learn about Sable. Like, we're trying to do good things. We don't need this gold dust messing it all up.
Yeah, I've been a wrestling fan forever, so JR and Tony are going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild show. They are now with AEW. You watch them every night, Wednesday night on TNT.
And AEW is in town.
The very following night.
Yeah.
So we'll give them the plug because, like, God knows they need it. Like, they're having trouble moving tickets. We're not having trouble moving tickets. There's some left, but there's also a special meet and greet where if you want to get your picture with Tony and JR, you can do that as well. Just visit carlsoncomedy.com for notes on that. Now, yesterday in Rochester, I noticed was Fool's Spring. Have you ever heard that expression before?
I have not.
I love it. It's my new favorite thing. Fool's Spring. It's that day in this terrible, terrible winter in the Northeast where all of a sudden it turns into spring out of nowhere.
Where you get a glimmer of hope.
Right.
Yeah.
It ends up being like, you know, 60 and sunny and everybody's got their windows down. If you pull up to a red light, you just hear Jimmy Buffett in the air. Stupid assholes are listening to boat drinks. Which is that? Like just driving. Let's say everybody's in a good mood. And all while we have a massive pandemic happening across the world.
We do.
And everybody
probably want to keep your windows up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Everyone is running around in shorts and t-shirts. And this is the weather that gets you infamously sick.
Yeah.
Now, what is going to happen today and over the weekend is all these people are going to find themselves congested and feeling terrible.
You might want to replace that cabin air filter in your car.
Correct.
Keep your windows up.
Correct. But I'm just saying, they're going to overwhelm the emergency room. And what's going to happen, Billy?
They're all going to get sick and think they have the coronavirus, which isn't going to happen to me. This is why you're my news source. I had no idea what it was like out yesterday.
Yeah.
Because I was barricaded in my house, my shades drawn, binge-watching The Mandalorian. I really had no idea it was nice out yesterday.
It's good for you.
I didn't leave my house. I didn't get out of my little Batman pajama pants and t-shirt.
His little Batman pajama.
It's so
like
funny.
He said little.
What I find so funny about this is, you know, it doesn't matter who we have on the couch, Ross or Billy, both of them own pajamas. Batman pajamas, I'm pretty sure.
I'm sure. Ross has the whole ensemble.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Ross wears Robin.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Yeah.
So,
Nightwing on special nights.
Who knows what darkness lurks in the heart of men? We'll be right back. with stand up or with comedy history with Billy DeTore. Stay tuned. Attention, pro wrestling fans. One night only this St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. Two legendary voices of professional wrestling will be right here at Comedy at the Carlson. Mr. Tony Schiavone. And by God, we got good old JR. That's right, at Comedy at the Carlson, one night only. Together for an incredible night of comedy, storytelling, Q&As. Tickets are on sale now at carlsoncomedy.com. We'll see you there. Oh, and that's not all, wrestling fans. This summer, ECW Originals present the whole effing truth tour, Stories from the Extreme. Always wanted to do that. Featuring Just Incredible, the franchise Shane Douglas, and the Sandman. You won't be going to sleep at this show. Coming up, one night only, Sunday, June 14th. Tickets are on sale now at carlsoncomedy.com. You are going to see why Comedy at the Carlson is Rochester. All right, folks, we are joined in studio once again by our comedy historian, Billy DeTore. Hey, Billy.
Hey, Vinny. Hey, Brian.
How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Thank you.
Well,
I appreciate having something to do on a Friday morning.
What's so interesting is usually we start off the segment with a little bit of small banter, how was your week and everything, but we already heard that, so.
So let's just get,
let's get into some history. Get into
it. Absolutely.
Whose birthdays we got this week?
Just one big birthday today. Billy Crystal turned 72 on March 14th. It's like a week away.
So, yeah.
But Billy Crystal started as a stand-up on the first episode of Saturday Night Live, maybe second, where he did some stand-up, was a touring comic, then became an actor. If you remember the TV show Soap, first person to play a gay character on television.
He was.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was Dallas.
So happy 72nd birthday to Billy Crystal.
Wow.
Maybe now more famous for hosting the Academy Awards.
You know,
72, that's
surprising. Everyone knows him from My Giant.
Not City Slickers.
Nah.
I would prefer if you'd said Rabbit Test.
Ah, there you go.
Remember the movie Rabbit Test?
I know. I remember that it existed.
He played the first pregnant man. It was written by Joan Rivers.
Mm. Really?
Yeah.
I liked When Harry Met Sally.
You know, he really does love stand-up. I'll say this about Billy Crystal. He made, wrote, and directed that movie, Mr. Saturday Night,
That's
if I recall.
Right. Which
was just about an old Catskills comic coming to terms with the fact that the business passed him by.
Yep.
Maybe you want to watch that, Brian.
I've already come to terms with it. I've already accepted it.
All right. What else do we got in comedy history?
Okay, comedy history. The Marx Brothers, on March 8th, 1959, made their final TV appearance together. Groucho, Harpo, and Chico. Some people say Chico. It's Chico. They were on a TV show called General Electric Playhouse. It was one of those anthology TV shows that did teleplays. The Great Jewelry Robbery had the three Marx Brothers in it. The TV show hosted by Ronald Reagan.
You're kidding.
Wow. Can you imagine a president that was once a TV host? Unbelievable.
I know. It's crazy town.
It really is crazy town and unbelievable.
I prefer to imagine Groucho as Secretary of State.
I would prefer that.
At least one of the Joint Chiefs.
Yeah.
He'd be very good at meetings. All right. What else we got?
Let's see. On March 9th, 1991, and March 10th, 1990, the American Comedy Awards, the fifth annual on the one day, the fourth annual the day on the previous day,
right?
Whatever I'm trying to say there. But the American Comedy Awards, it gave awards to best actor in sitcoms, best movies, blah blah. But the best stand-ups, I find kind of interesting. On the fifth annual American Comedy Awards in 1991, Dennis Wolfberg was the best male comedian. Do you remember Dennis Wolfberg?
No,
I do not.
I'm looking him up.
No.
Okay.
No idea.
The only place I knew him from besides stand-up, and he died young. That's probably why he's, it's definitely why he's not still around today.
He died. That's why
Gushy
he's not here.
On Quantum Leap.
Oh.
Do you remember the TV
I do.
Show
I'm
Quantum Leap?
Familiar with that.
Oh, my God. This headshot.
Yeah. He had a wacky
Hold on.
Big eyes. And yeah,
Hold
that
on.
Headshot right there.
Yeah,
look at that guy. He does look dead. Oh, yep.
Oh, that guy died?
Yeah. Dennis Wolfberg.
Of what surprise? He looks
Look like something.
Dennis Wahlberg was best male comedian. Ellen DeGeneres, best female comedian.
All right.
In 1991. So. In 1990, at the fourth annual, Jeff Foxworthy was best male, and Rita Rudner was best female.
You might be the best male comedian if you figured out a formula that you could use for every single one of your jokes.
So I wonder what Dennis Wahlberg did in the following year that made him overtake Jeff Foxworthy.
Something shocking, judging by that.
You might be. He started a brand new. He wrote a couple of books, did a couple of specials called "You Might Be a Hobo If." I don't know.
Okay, so after the American Comedy Awards, let's move on to March 9th, 2013. Justin Timberlake pulls double duty as the both host and musical guest of Saturday Night Live.
Interesting.
It's, strangely enough, it's not that uncommon. I've heard it's been done 33 times. Ooh, after wow. Some research. I
could probably guess a couple. Like, probably Paul Simon. Yep. Seems like the kind who would do it.
They had one of those boy band kids this season.
Lady Gaga did it too, didn't she, I think?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Beyonce. Yeah. My favorite, though, was Garth Brooks, who hosted as Garth Brooks.
And performed as Chris Gaines.
Yes. Performed the musical guest as Chris Gaines when he wanted to be his rock and roll self.
Please, folks, if you don't know that story, go look at, what is he, emo Garth Brooks? Yeah. When he changed his name to Chris Gaines. I'm
he
a rocker now.
He looked sort of like Keith Urban looked. Chris Gaines looked sort of like Keith
Urban.
Yeah,
it kind of does.
Can we stop pretending Chris Gaines is a different person? <'Cause>, yeah. Like, I got to be honest with you. If you were coming up with your rock star name...
Yeah, Chris Gaines.
This is not what I'm leading for.
It sounds like a guy who works at Wegmans. It doesn't sound like a rock star.
And he spelled it C-H-R-I-S. It should have been K-R-I-S if you're going to do it at like least, rock star way. You know, Gaines should have had a Z in it. I don't know. So, all right. JT.
JT.
He's a talented dude. Dick in a box.
Yes. And very funny man.
Oh, this is a sad one.
March 10th, 2007. Rich Jenny. Dies at the age of 50, suicide self-inflicted. I loved Rich Jenny. I thought he was a fantastic stand-up comic.
Absolutely.
Number 57 in Comedy Central's list of 100 greatest stand-ups of all time as of 2004. But I was a big Rich Jenny fan. Had a sitcom called Platypus Man and a bunch of specials on Showtime.
Sadly, though, he didn't even make the top 500 in list of suicides, so...
Too soon, Vinny.
Yeah, probably.
Well,
Billy laughed. Billy laughed.
Because uncomfortably, though.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't like it.
I didn't like laughter.
But that's the thing about laughter. It's meant to be just a response. It can't be controlled.
Yes.
All right, what else we got?
March 12th, 1951. Kind of odd. Dennis the Menace appeared as a comic strip for the first time. But strangely enough, in Britain... Exact same day, March 12th, 1951, they had a Dennis the Menace comic strip appear. Two completely different comic strips, completely different human beings. Hank Ketchum did the United States one, and a man by the name of Davey Law created Dennis the Menace in Britain. And just ironically or coincidentally, I'm not sure.
And these are the two characters?
Yeah, those are the two versions.
Hmm. Britain. One looks more like a menace than the other.
Well, British children are terrifying. British teenagers are like my number two fear in the world. It's like Brock Lesnar and then British teens.
Right. I could see that.
So Dennis the Menace went on to a long and big career.
Oh, you left that pork pie out on the windowsill to cool, did you? Just imagine this whole thing. Is he like a little Cockney kid?
Yeah.
Like climbing down chimneys?
The troublemaker has a dog and it's almost sort of the same character. Both still exist today.
Interesting. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And on to our deep dive for the day. Let's talk about George Burns.
Hey, why are we talking about George Burns?
Because March 9th, 1996 saw the passing of the legendary comedian at the age of 100.
God rest his soul.
That's a good old run, George.
Yep. Started his career at the age of 7. He was singing with some kids in a local... soda shop, like a candy store. He was working at the candy store. Him and some kids were singing, and
he was just chomping on a cigar.
And
it was a candy cigar.
Some guy said, "You can make money doing this." So him and his little friends became an act that performed on
George and the Lollipop Boys.
He already talked like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
And from that point on, he just continued his career singing, comedy, vaudeville.
What year? He 100 years old. So that means he was born in
1896.
1896. And how old? You're saying 7 years old. So we're talking the turn of the century. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were like, who's the Kaiser? Sing for us, Georgie. Like, what a weird
There were horses
time.
Clomping outside he when he started his career.
Shadow.
Yeah.
So he started performing vaudeville. Usually had a female sidekick. Married one.
Famously, the, Gracie.
No, he had a first wife named Hannah. And once the tour ended, so did the marriage. And
sorry, Dollard, you're going to have to find your lollipop somewhere else.
On a subsequent tour, he met Gracie Allen, and they had a long career together, both as husband and wife and as comedy partners, through radio, television, movies. And did you ever get a chance to see reruns of the show?
Which show?
The TV show, Burns and Allen TV show?
Long, long time ago.
Me too. They used to rerun them locally here in Rochester on Channel 8 every once in a while.
Yeah, I used to get them when I was a kid, I remember seeing it. Like on Saturday mornings or something like that it was on.
And they, George Burns, one of the first people to break the fourth wall and talk directly to the viewers. And at times would, while other action was taking place in the sitcom with Gracie and the neighbors or whatever, he'd be watching what was going on in TV and address what was happening to the audience.
So he was a pioneer in television as well. People don't realize that.
I was obsessed with him when I was a kid. Like, I loved all of his movies and stuff, and my parents hated it because my parents were so religious that, like, the Oh My God movies, like, were sacrilegious and nobody liked it, but they were so great.
You bring that up. Oh God was a big hit in 1977.
And that was co-starring John Denver, right?
John Denver. Yeah. Then there were two sequels. Oh God, Book Two with a little girl.
Yep.
And Oh God, You Devil with Ted Wass from the TV show Soap.
Yeah.
But I had a friend who also didn't like the Oh God movies because their family was religious.
Yeah.
Or to me, those movies seem to promote...
They do if you watch them.
To promote being religious and believing in God.
Yeah.
And so
it's just that their God is a bit smarmy. Uh-huh. But other than that, you know, it's... Yeah.
And God doesn't smoke cigars.
Exactly.
He can if he wants to.
Certainly can.
1975 saw George Burns win an Academy Award for The Sunshine Boys.
I had no idea he's an Academy Award winner.
Mm-hmm.
I did not either.
And wow. It's an excellent movie. A pair of aging vaudeville comedians, Walter Matthau and George Burns.
Uh-huh.
George Burns took the role over from Jack Benny, who was supposed to star in the movie, but got sick and passed away. So George Burns wound up with the part and the Academy Award.
That's amazing. He was playing an aging vaudeville comedian in 1975.
Yeah.
And then he kicked around until he was 100.
Another 20 years performing in Vegas and Reno and all, I'm sure.
He performed well into his 90s.
Yeah. And regularly until his 90s, like 96, he had a fall that sort of took him out of showbiz, but would still do the occasional gig. And performed just weeks before his death because he wanted to perform when he was 100 years old. He did
well, that
show.
There was a standing gig that they had booked like years and years, if I remember, before he died. I forget what.
I think it was Harrah's.
George Burns' 100th birthday was booked like well in advance.
Yeah.
So he performed monthly up until the fall, a couple of years before his 100th birthday, but still made a point of doing a show at the age of 100.
That's amazing.
So remember, kids, scars are good for you.
That's what I'm going to take out of this.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to be like Brian, go right ahead. So George Burns, a legend.
Yeah.
We salute you, sir. We salute you. And I feel like if you want to have a good time, watch a family film, get the kids around, watch Oh God. That was a good movie.
Unless you're super religious and find it offensive.
It holds up. Holds up. Give it a chance. Billy, great job this week, my friend.
Thank you, Vinny. Thank you.
We are going to be back with our guest, Mr. Jamie Lissau, so stay tuned.
Hey, everybody. As always, lots of cool shows come up here at Comedy at the Carlson. Visit us at carlsoncomedy.com or call 5854-COMEDY for tickets. this weekend. Jamie Lissau's still around. Still some tickets available tonight and tomorrow night. Also tonight and tomorrow night in the Rickles Room, we have Joel James. And Faison Love returns March 12th through the 14th. Dan Viola will also be in the Rickles Room the 13th and 14th. And March 19th through the 21st, Pablo Francisco. That's a very, very fun name to say. And Steve-O, March 27th to 28th. You really want to get your tickets very, very quickly for that one. And Rich Scheidner, March 27th to 28th in the Rickles. And the Sklar Brothers are back April 2nd through the 4th. We hear they're twins. One of our very favorites, Jesse Mapeluso, April 9th through the 11th. And Diego Atanasio, also a fun name, April 10th in the Rickles Room. Earl David Reed, he has three names, April 16th through the 18th. And Adam Ray, April 23rd through the 25th. On the 30th through May 2nd, we have Ryan Nymiller. And Dave Smith, May 2nd in the Rickles. We have Anthony Rodia, May 8th and 9th. And Mike Dambrell will be back in town, May 15th and 16th. And John Renitsky on May 28th through the 30th. And May 30th, Pedro Gonzalez is also in the Rickles Room. And Pete Corelli on June 4th through the 6th. And June 11th through the 13th, it's Jay Moore back around. He is a destroyer. And Michael Rappaport making a rare appearance on June 11th through the 13th. If you need tickets and you want to come out and hang with us, call 5854-COMEDY or visit carlsoncomedy.com.
Thank you for being awesome and watching another episode of the Carlson Cast. Don't forget we're streaming live on Facebook and YouTube every Friday morning. You could also follow us on social media on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. You can listen anytime on iTunes, Google Play, and we're now available on Spotify. You should also check out an amazing app called Laughable. And on the Laughable app, you can connect to your favorite comedians in a way you never thought you could before. Download it in the App Store and visit carlsoncast.com for information on more shows. And don't be a jerk. Rate and review. All right, folks, welcome back to the show. We are excited to have our guest in the studio. We have been arguing all morning as to who is the biggest comedian of all time to come out of Rochester, and we're trying to decide if it's you or Foster Brooks.
Oh, I would go Foster Brooks.
You, because you're humble. We all said you.
You know what? Before I answer, let me quickly Google who that is.
How many D. Martin roasts were you on, Jamie?
No, it's amazing. Yeah, I don't count myself. I don't think.
But you should.
I'm doing all right.
You should. Because, well, we could always talk about Tonight Show appearance. We could always talk about writing and co-starring on a television show. Okay. Writing on another hit television show and touring comedy clubs all over the country.
Yeah. All right.
You're doing pretty good.
That's not too bad, the one you say it like that.
Yeah.
I wish you'd say that every morning to me.
Well, call me. You got my number now. You can call me anytime.
Because it's hard saying that stuff to yourself in the mirror. It feels more credible when someone else says it.
You get used to it, though.
All right.
You could just save the recording and play it for yourself.
That's true.
Yeah. Now let's talk about the bad. Since the last time you've been here.
The bad?
Yeah. Okay. There's no bad. I'm just kidding.
Bring it on.
Your life has changed quite a bit since the last time
you've been here. It has? I don't know when I was here last.
Well, the last time you were here, you were still married.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. We haven't talked to you since the D-I-V-O-R-C-E.
Incredible. Let me Google what that spells.
Foster. Oh, look. Foster Brooks.
By the way, I did get divorced.
Yes, you did.
But still... totally cool with my ex. Like, she literally just texted me before I came on and says, fuck
Where's
you.
Where's that check?
Like, we're... It's all good.
Hold on.
I'm very happy.
Are you really tight with your wife? Ex-wife? Everything's cool?
Everything's... could not be better.
So it's one of the That's lucky good. Divorces.
Dude, yeah, and it wasn't that way. I think it took me a minute to adjust to it all. I, like, fought it for a long time.
Yeah.
I don't like things to end, and I felt like that part of my life was figured out.
Right.
Just like you got a thing, you got the gig, you got the kids, and I like didn't want to let go of it. And then once I did, it's been wonderful. Not in a negative way, like, oh, getting rid of her, just because the freedom it allows. You get to this is what they say. They go, you're getting divorced, and you're okay. And you go, what does that mean? And then people go, well, you're gonna have to like get your own place. And you're like, okay, that's fucking awesome. What else do I have to do?
Putting up posters.
They're like, well, you're only going to see the kids, you know, on vacations and like once a month. I'm like, that sounds pretty fucking cool too.
Fun stuff.
And then I went to my apartment. So I bought a condo in Alaska. I used to live in a really nice house. Gave it away. Feel okay about that because my kids live there. I had a nice house on the river.
Yeah.
I live in a pretty small condo. The furniture in there, I basically went into the furniture place.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, hey, give me everything my wife would have hated. Just leather shit. There's TVs everywhere. I got leopard video games. Print. It's a man kid cave.
Yeah.
It's nothing. It's very I love this place so much.
Ashtrays all over. You don't even smoke.
Dude, exactly.
Yeah.
How many bars?
No bars. I don't drink.
That's right. You're dry bar.
So there's no dry bar. That's right.
Yeah. But hold on a second.
But so it's a good thing, man.
So everything's cool. You're not having crazy fights with the ex.
No.
You're all just like moving along happily.
We went through a period where I would start fights and stuff, but it was like after 6 months, you're resisting what is. It's the old it is what it is. Like if you resist that, what is the point? And then not to be – I'm talking a lot because I've had a lot of caffeine.
Yeah, yeah. Keep going.
And I'm a narcissist. So it's those two things combined. But like a month after the separation, divorce, whatever. I'm in LA, and I would not have been in LA if I had been still with my wife. I had nowhere to live, so I went and stayed with Rob Schneider for about a month. I just lived at his house. And while I was there, a friend of mine called and said, hey, this show I write on is hiring two new writers. And I go, oh, that's cool. Like, and they go, send some samples. I sent some over. And 2 hours later, they wanted to meet.
That's amazing.
And I just happened to be in LA. I would have been in Alaska. And so 2 hours later, I drove to this studio and had like a really fun meeting and then got offered the job on Man with a Plan with Matt LeBlanc.
That's right. Which, one of the writers.
Which I'm not even sure I would have taken that if I was still married. I certainly wouldn't have gotten offered it.
Right.
So kind of that was also the universe kind of saying,
you're doing the right thing.
All's good.
Yeah. And that's the – man, that's got to be the best part of it is knowing that, you know, when your whole world gets shaken and everything that you thought you had planned out changes, that they're still good, that you could still keep moving forward. That's a wonderful lesson because I think some people get so depressed and down.
Yes. Which I did. I did a little. But then you also have to look at, like, because you have to think about the kids.
Mm-hmm.
The situation for the kids has gotten so much better.
Yeah, they hated you.
They hated me. But, like, that's all they ever wanted.
Right.
For my birthday, I just want you to be on the road. My son would tell me. No, like, and now, like, we get to take care of the kids. Like, we used to argue about parenting stuff, and now we get to do our own parenting thing alone with the kids, so they have a good time with her.
Right.
Despite what they tell me about their time with her. Yeah. And then they have a good time with me, and no one's judging the other person. Or it's been really good.
Well, you just don't get to hear about it immediately after.
Cut to my son's a school shooter. No, but I think they're doing
all right.
No, I think they're doing great.
How old are they?
I'm glad you think so.
12 years old is my boy.
Yeah.
That's right. Your oldest is 12. So your daughter's got to be 9 or 10, right?
She's 8. She'll be 9.
Okay.
I think.
That's how it usually goes.
And then, my son's 5. My other son's 5.
Wow.
He's the man.
Three kids. I'm happy for you, man. I'm very happy for you.
Thanks, dude.
You got this job working on this sitcom, CBS, right?
Mm-hmm.
Man with a Plan.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure what's going on with the next season, from what I understand.
Yeah,
that's all right.
You don't know until you find out in May. Like, you find out like about a month and a half before you would start writing.
So you were writing for a Netflix show, and now you're writing for a show on CBS.
Yeah.
What is, like, what's maybe some of the intricacies and the differences of how you would approach doing like a network sitcom versus one where you have a lot more freedom?
Well, dude, that's true about the freedom, but they replace your freedom with money. Like, it's just a more secure, it's just like, you know, like with the Netflix thing, a lot of times you're doing it on your own and there's a lot more risks. Like, so it's really fun and the sky's the limit and you hand in scripts, you get no notes. Like, there's so many awesome things about Netflix. I'd write for them again in a minute. And then you go over the network and there's amazing things about the network, even though there's like notes and limitations, you start to learn, holy shit, dude, these notes are good. These guys know what they're talking about. They know what the audience wants. And it's also, we had 3 writers for the Netflix show, me, Rob, and his wife, which was like super fun.
Uh-huh.
But it's a lot of work, man.
It's like two or three.
CBS, we have 11 writers. It's just completely different worlds. Like, just a more consistent schedule. Like, you know exactly when it's coming on TV. I don't know. It's they're both great. Uh-huh. But man, I've loved both of them. Like, I think the fact that it's 6 months is awesome. If it was a year of even one of those things, right, I think I might get overwhelmed by it. But the fact that it's like, yeah, we're on for 6 months, off for 6 months, you jump in the writer's room for 6 months, then you go do your own, you know, do some stand-up and freelance stuff.
That's amazing. So when you're working with 11 writers as opposed to 3 writers, do they give you a certain, like, assignment? Like, your job is to punch this up, your job is, like, how does that work? Like, are you all writing different episodes at the same time?
Dude, it's all, this is not true everywhere. There's different,
sure,
like, schools of thought. Like, I know Chuck Lorre does, like, a story room and a joke room. And so one room writes the story, the other room punches it up. The comedians come in the other room, they pitch the jokes, they put them into the story room. But our room is one room, and everyone writes everything. Everyone writes everything. And so they go, anybody have any ideas for new episodes? And I'll go, like, well, yeah, my son just did this thing, and I think it might be funny if I told him this one story. It was Valentine's Day. Uh-huh. And so I had forgotten to get my wife something. And so I decided, oh my God, I'll get the house cleaned as a Valentine's Day gift. Mm-hmm. She was always like overwhelmed by housework. She's like, yeah, I'll hire like a nice cleaner. So I hire their comment. I'm very excited. And my buddy calls me and he goes, comedian Matt Bergman, he calls me, he goes, dude, I forgot to get something for my wife for Valentine's Day. And I go, dude, I got this house cleaning thing. I'm a hero. It's going to be amazing. And he goes, dude, I'm going to do the same thing. Awesome. Mm-hmm. So a few hours later, the cleaners come, and my wife, I did not see this coming, gets super upset at me because she feels like hiring a cleaner, nope, is telling her, you don't clean the house.
That surprised you?
My it did wife surprise would
me. Murder me. If
oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
I think my wife would have gone the same way, too, with Brian's.
Interesting. Yeah. This, I'm not very smart. This did not occur to me.
She wouldn't want anyone touching her shit.
Yeah, that's part of it.
This did not occur to me. I just thought maybe I'm stupid. But I end up doing it, and she gets really mad. You guys wouldn't have done it. You would have had the fourth. Mm-hmm. And as she's mad at me, I realize I forgot to tell my friend not to do it. Like, I gave him the good idea, but forgot to follow up with what happened.
You know what I did, man?
And I call him up, and I'm like, dude, Bergman, did you do the house cleaning thing? And he goes, yeah.
I'm at the right lawyer's office.
He goes, right now I'm drinking a beer locked in the bathroom. I go, what's going on? He's like, oh, we're fighting and we're yelling at each other. So I just drank this beer in the bath. And so that, I think that almost exact thing is in a Man with a Plan episode.
Yeah.
It's Kevin Nealon does that.
That's hysterical. Yeah.
And his wife gets mad. And then I think we wrote some joke where his wife's in the bathroom angry. And he's in there and he's like, honey, I'm sorry, but that toilet's really clean though, right? You ever seen a cleaner? Like, that's pretty. But like, so we do that. We all pitch stories from our lives for shows. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then we room write every single episode. Like, April 2nd, the show premieres. I think I wrote the episode that premieres.
Okay.
Everybody wrote it.
That's awesome.
I didn't write shit by myself. Like, pretty much every joke that's in there, it was 11 people pitching.
So every episode's what, 21 minutes?
22? Yeah, I think so. 22 okay. minutes.
And how long would you say it takes to complete an episode with a team of 11 people?
Well, it depends a little bit, but sometimes we've had to rewrite an entire episode and sure. done it in a day.
Okay.
With 11 people. But probably a week. But you do like 2 days breaking the story.
Uh-huh.
So you do like little ideas. Mm-hmm. Like, I get my wife a house cleaning thing and she gets mad. That's it.
Sure.
And then you start going like, what's the B story? What are the, so we sort of like set out all the scenes for that. And that mm-hmm. usually takes about a day. And then another day, we get more detailed. Like, you start going like, what joke could end the scene? The toilet joke. Kevin Nealon says yeah. this. So you put the jokes on a card. And then the next day, you write like, I think it's like an outline type of thing. Like uh-huh. a 3-page document, a little beefier, a little bit more wording. And then someone goes off on script and usually gets like 3 days to write the episode.
Okay.
3 or 4 days. But it's basically written for you.
And see, people don't realize that it takes – like, it's either – they don't realize that it takes 3 days with 11 people. Nobody ever thinks about the amount of work yeah. that goes to put that many jokes in that small amount of time. It's incredible.
And what's so fun is – if you run into a problem, if something's not funny or you like, once we have the scripts written, the week of shooting is like rehearsal. You do a table read.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone sits at a table. No one moves around. They just like read the script.
Yeah.
And you put little check marks if jokes work or not. And it's amazing if something's not working, either at the table read or rehearsal. With 11 funny people, it's going to get fixed.
Right.
And fast. Like, you're going to have 20 different jokes to choose from. Or if it was like just one guy, you might not get anything, but having like this room of God, these people are so funny, too.
We're going to fly Brian down there and just have him sit in there with you guys and have him do his act for a while.
So yeah. Dude, punch I think he would do great. It might be. It might have to be a week when we're on hiatus.
I just need you to help punch him up. I just need you to punch him up a little
punch
bit.
Punch me up.
So
that would be my dream job, though, is just to be like the punch-up guy, where you get something that's like 90% done and you just have to add a few more jokes to it.
It's a great game.
My dream job is punching Brian. So
it is. A punch-up job with...
They're related.
That's good.
Similar dreams.
Making him better by punching him up.
Now, so this is your off time. You're out touring all over the country. You did the Dry Bar comedy specials.
I did.
Which has got to be huge for you.
It was good, man. It was really fun. The only problem is you have to be incredibly clean. Mm-hmm. As you probably know.
And we've talked to you for about a good 10 minutes so far, and we already know how you really
are. I didn't even notice
it. We know who you are. People get you.
So you do this Dry Bar thing, mm-hmm. and they send you a video. Uh-huh. It's like 15 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you can't say this word, people won't like it. And it's like,
don't... Did you say 50 or 15?
15.
Okay, fair enough.
And don't say God. Like, don't say, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Don't say that you got divorced. Like, just act like everything's happy. Like... And they're telling you because VidAngel's this Hold thing on. Where... Yes?
They told you you're not allowed to discuss being divorced?
They said like divorce material where you're like shitting on your ex-wife like doesn't go over.
Gotcha.
But they're not saying don't do it.
Did they make you pretend your wife was pregnant?
They wanted her to be very religious and pregnant.
Very pregnant, yeah.
So they're doing it like in your favor because VidAngel's this app or whatever the fuck it is, a service where like if more people watch your thing, you get paid more. So they're basically saying we have to put warnings on your thing, and the less warnings you have, the more people are going to watch it, the more money you're going to make, the better you're going to do in a Salt Lake City audience. Mm-hmm. And I would say they're kind of right. Like I was so clean, dude. And as a joke, when I was talking to them, they go, "What do you want to call your special?" And I go, it's like on a conference call with like six people. And I go, "What do you guys think about like Jamie Lisso tries not to say fuck?" And they're like, "Dude, you can't. That's the word. You can't swear."
Did they hang up on you immediately?
And they were like, "Ha ha ha." And they go, "No, what do you want to call it?" And I go, "What about, is it Mormon here or is it just me?" So we didn't call it that. And then we ended up just calling it, I think it's called something awesome or something.
Jamie Lisso loves God.
Jamie
Lissau loves that book.
Jamie Lissau loves his family. Listen to him talk about it.
Jamie Lissau loves what other you guys say I love.
Yeah, that's...
But it's a good experience. I get one of the videos. It's got like 7 million views or something. But the problem is me and Josh Sneed, who is a great comic. He was like a Dry Bar dude. We're doing a gig a couple weeks ago somewhere in California, and we're walking through the mall. As you do during the day when you're off, you know?
Sure.
And as we're walking, these two people come up to us and they're like, "Oh my God, this is crazy. What are you guys doing here?" And we're like, "What?" And they're like, "We watch you guys on Dry Bar. Like, you're Josh Nee." They're like, "Jamie, you have the craft store bit." And I'm like, "Yeah, we're just like doing like a show in town." And they couldn't believe it. So people were so nice, so excited.
Did you guys have Netflix? I'm just wondering.
They come to the show, fucking walk out within the first minute.
Because they thought you were going to be doing the Dry Bar.
Sneed was on stage. He's very clean. He said some joke about like his daughter when they did the ultrasound, her legs being spread.
Uh-huh.
And he's afraid what this means for her growing. It was like a not very dirty like joke.
It was
joke
an allusion
about.
To
yeah.
They got future up, dirty they got up jokes. And walked out.
Wow. So that's at least you didn't walk them.
That's what you got to be careful for.
Yeah.
I did not walk. I would have though.
I bet.
I mean, right away.
What stops me from Dry Bar is Salt Lake City.
Is that
not
what stops
a fan.
You?
Yeah, that's the only thing.
Why don't you like Salt Lake City?
It's weird, man.
Great comedy crowds.
Yeah, but God, they're weird. Like, the last time I was there, I was sitting in a taco place, and a fat lady came in and tripped over the welcome mat. And, like, arms flailing everything.
Okay.
Hit the deck. Obviously wasn't hurt.
Okay.
I laughed.
Sure.
I was the only one in the room that laughed.
Wow.
And like everybody I was eating with got up and ran to help her. I just sat there eating my tacos.
I like how you're blaming Salt Lake for this.
I know. Do you see what my problem is?
Do you understand?
Here?
He's like, her arms were flailing.
Yeah.
You can't not laugh.
I'm not arguing
that
it's not funny. I'm saying I agree with you. It's funny. But it seems like everyone else was just acting like human beings.
Right.
Everyone in this room would have laughed.
Can we at least agree on one thing? It's just a principle. Fat people falling down is hysterical.
That's
I'm one of them. I do it all the time.
That's why I hang out with
Only thing funnier, at a taco place. ridiculously fine. That in a hurry to get tacos.
Spaghetti. And let me tell you something. Yeah,
yeah, incredible.
The maybe a cream pie.
Dude, she was so excited looking up at that board with the picture of the tacos. She wasn't looking at her feet. She missed. It's the opposite of what a welcome mat's supposed to do.
Yeah. And what, and, you know.
I'm going to use that.
But hold on. And also the part is, what Taco Bell has a welcome mat?
That's crazy.
That is a weird thing. Is what, the key to the store underneath
wasn't
it?
Taco Are they that? Bell, it was like Del Rio's or something like that.
Oh, Del Rio's.
Yeah, no one cares, Brian. Back good. To Jamie Lissau.
The tacos were delicious.
Back to our guest.
I disagree. Brian cares.
So I lost the clip here, and I'm really upset. I wish I could pop this back in, but I watched a video of you recently. You were on Bob and Tom with Bobby Kelly.
Oh, my God. That was so fun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I have a bone to pick with you, sir.
I think I'm married in that one. It might have been a little while
Yeah,
ago.
You were talking about your wife, but I will say this. They say to you, hey, Jamie, where'd you grow up?
What did I say?
Upstate New York.
I did?
Yeah, you did, Kristen Wiig. You certainly did.
You big timed us.
I don't understand. What are you supposed to say?
Rochester. Where did you grow up?
Oh, I said upstate instead of Rochester?
Yeah. You did.
Interesting.
You big timed us.
Yeah.
What
is that about?
What you have to say to yourself out. Is interesting.
I just wanted to say it was very early in the morning. I don't know why I didn't get more specific.
I think you need to apologize to your hometown.
Were you taken out of context?
Was it decontextualized?
They edited some of the details of that interview out.
It's fake news, CGI.
I later corrected.
I don't know why I didn't say Rochester.
I felt so sad. I saw it and I went, oh, Rochester's going to get a little love. Upstate New York.
Dude, you Moving know what on. I will do as an apology? We'll edit it into the video.
No, okay.
As if I said it.
I'm from Rochester, New York.
But honestly, I don't remember doing that. But it is great to be back here in upstate New York with you guys.
Yeah, because you want to be confused with Buffalo.
I don't remember that.
Fame has changed you.
I'm dying to make an excuse, but I don't know if this is valid or not. When you're on the Bob and Tom show, oh no, that's the, you're not supposed to say that you're in Indianapolis when you're on the Bob and Tom show because it's national.
Right.
And I'm just, my excuse would only be, I wonder if something was in my head about, I think I'm just lying. I was thinking about it.
I do too.
Sometimes I can't tell.
How weird is it for you when you come back to town? Like your life is so like established away from here. When you come back, it's got to feel like going back to high school a little bit.
Dude, you just nailed it, man. How about going on the Wii show?
Right.
Walking into that building, It even has like a smell of settling for something. Like it has a weird smell. And even, dude, this is not a joke. The bathroom at the Wii show. It's like a public bathroom.
Oh, I know where it is.
Have you ever been in there?
Yeah.
Every time, and I worked there for 5 years, every time I've ever been in the bathroom, I don't know if somebody does not shit for 24 hours, gets up early, goes into the public bathroom at Wii's and goes, hey, how about fuck everybody?
It's time now.
Because it feels like, you feel like you're actually peeing inside of a giant asshole.
My bathroom,
what is happening in there?
It's a long car ride.
It's the worst, but I went in there today and I was like, oh my God, like,
this guy has not changed his diet.
Yeah, it feels like a different world though. But even driving around like, and seeing like downtown, I rented a car and I was driving. I just thought things changed and it just seems crazy. I drove by, like, I used to be a temp worker and I worked at whatever factory they would send me to.
Right.
And I drove by a couple of the factories there and I was like, holy shit, dude. Like, for a minute there, I might have been in injection molding, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there was a while where I did injection molding and burned my fucking hands every day and so, I don't know.
It's no secret to those of you who watch the show or listen to the show that Billy DeTore is doing a segment with us. And I asked him this week, I said, you got any good Jamie stories I could bring up on the show? And he goes, well, he was my intern.
Holy shit, I forgot about that.
And I just started laughing and I was going, wait
a second.
That's
right.
Jamie came as your intern. He goes, yeah. And he was always asking Tommy Mulay on tips on how to be a comedian because you wanted to be a comedian from really, really early.
Yeah, I was. Tommy Mulay was for sure a hero. Like I saw him. I'm not going to say who the headliner was, but Tommy was the feature. Mm-hmm. And there was a headliner that you would know, whatever. And it was one of those things where I was like, the fucking feature guy is so much funnier than the headliner. Like Tommy was so funny to me.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And then when he had the job on the radio to being funny all day, it was just like the greatest job I could ever
have. You and I have that in common. I've said it many times. Tommy Mulay is the reason I wanted to get into comedy.
Wow.
I loved that man. Still do. Still love Tommy. don't listen to his show at all, but you know, I still love Tommy.
I heard what you said.
Damn it, Mike.
It was into the it amplified your voice. I think we recorded it.
On his video.
But yeah, dude, I don't remember how it came about with Billy. Yeah, but I interned for Billy in upstate New York, and it was I don't remember how it did, but I remember that being like really exciting, and I got to be on the air a couple times. It was like super nervous.
And little did you know, you'd be coming back as a co-host on that show.
It's crazy.
And now you could big time that show if you wanted to.
That's what freaks me out. This is a weird thing. So what freaks me out is, in my head, like the Tommy Mulet job, comedian on Wheeze and doing comedy, seemed like completely out of reach.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fucking factory listening to the morning show.
Yeah.
Like I worked at a golf warehouse where I put like golf things in a box like all day long. And it just seemed like out of reach. And so that's what seems surreal to me, is to sort of like go from that to, even like when I stopped doing that job, it was so scary because I felt like that was like, just holy shit, this is what I always wanted. Like, is anything ever going to happen?
And now
again?
I'm disappearing from it. Now I'm just going into a whole completely different phase of my life. And obviously it worked out for you, but the 90s in Rochester, New York, at least, was like Brother Wheeze time, man. That show was massive.
Yeah.
Absolutely massive.
Dude, massive. Like, they used to have listeners.
People would call into the show,
I've heard, not just for free stuff. I've heard rumors of those things, those mystical creatures.
Let's outside of Bustatory. It's the best.
It was huge. Still a great show.
That legitimately was a dream.
Dude,
because I'm not going to lie to you. It was like, I used to think about it too. Oh, man, I would love that job.
An unreachable dream. Like, I, in my head, was like an unreachable, impossible dream to be on Wheeze and do stand-up. It just seemed crazy. But it's weird how, like, then you do something like that, and you immediately, and I'm sure you've had this happen with, like, comedy, where maybe you wanted something, I want to open for this guy, and then it happens. You immediately acclimate to it, and it's not a fucking big deal anymore. Like, your mind goes like, that's the new normal. It's like, you get no time to like, really enjoy it.
That's
when it
becomes your job. Had all those lions.
What was it?
That's why Caligula had all those lions.
What was that?
The emperor, like, they all go crazy because you get what you want, and then you have to do something crazier and crazier.
Oh, okay. I never heard that.
Yeah, that's a terrible analogy. Shut up and think before you speak.
It was a good one.
No, it wasn't. I lost my train of thought because I'm going, what
now
is
you're
talking
now about? You want to buy a lion.
I do.
We're saying, like, getting something and then realizing what?
When it becomes your job, it's no longer like the mystique of it is just kind of disappearing.
Yeah.
Like being on a co-host, like you told me, you were a big Rob Schneider fan before you started. And now you're co-starring on his television show with him. Like, things like that have got to be like huge, massive, like, I can't even believe this. And then it's your job.
Dude, it quickly I had been friends with him a little bit. Like, I had written for him a little bit. So we had just kind of got to know each other, and I had opened for him a couple times. And I remember like thinking, I'm gonna fucking ask him for a picture tonight. I'm gonna get a picture with Rob, and like psyching myself up to finally get a picture with him and getting one. And then then being on the show with him, you would think like, oh my god, you gotta be like out of your mind. But then you go, hey, like you said, you sort of like acclimate and you go, hey, what else can I do? What's next? Like, you start immediately being disappointed in yourself that you need to do more. You need to do more. Like, no matter what you do,
right. And I owe you a thank you, by the way, because you snuck me into the green room to get a picture with Rob when he was here.
Oh, that's right.
You did.
That's so cool. He did not talk to me for months.
I believe it. I got to be honest with you.
No problem.
A lot smaller than I thought he would be.
Oh, okay.
He's very tiny.
He said the opposite about you.
Yeah. He was like,
come on.
That picture looks like just a human being exploded next to Rob Schneider. It's terrible.
No, that was great, man. I forgot about that.
No, it was very nice of you. Now, are you doing comedy? Is he still taking comedy dates? Is he still touring too?
Yeah, that's what made me bring up Salt Lake to you when I first walked in here off the air. People at home don't know this, but we had 35 minutes to wait when I first arrived here. he filmed a comedy special on Saturday night in Salt Lake at a theater. Big budget, like two shows, and I did warm up.
Big budget in Salt Lake City. Get you a long way.
Dude.
Yeah.
Like this show, like a 30-person staff, like crazy.
And it's a theater gig?
He had a 9-person orchestra. Yeah, and it's like it's a special he filmed. Great crowds, Brian. You got to give it another chance.
Yeah. I'll just avoid that taco place.
don't that let one fat lady slipping on a welcome mat ruin it for you.
I camped out at that taco place to watch that again.
Yeah, he did. I've been there before. What I do is I grease the welcome mat. That's what I do when I'm there. But he,
the Lord's work, Jamie. The Lord's work.
We did like DC Improv last Monday and Tuesday, and so I'm starting to do. Now he needs a new hour because he filmed his last hour, and so we're gonna. I think I might jump on. I might do gigs with him like all of April and May.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but he's hitting it hard. He's off right now for a couple weeks before the big Sandler tour.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Sandler's doing it. That's right.
Sandler's doing a big tour.
Did he get Chris Rock for that?
I think it might be. Oh shit! It might be special guest. Might not be supposed to say.
I don't know anything about anything. I just am saying that'd be a kind of a cool show to go to.
I don't know if Rock's ever been on that. I went and saw Sandler once in Seattle. Listen to this shit: Adam Sandler, Rob Schneider, Norm Macdonald, Tim Meadows, David Spade. And I think that might have been it. It was crazy.
That's a pretty wild lineup.
It was like a four-hour show. It was amazing.
Wow.
Ridiculous.
And the crowd's got to love it.
All the way through, they go crazy.
That's nuts. So I got to ask you, Jamie, because I know you got a lot of things to do today. There's a lot of aunts and uncles waiting for you outside.
Yeah.
I'm going
to yoga today, too. I'm doing some yoga.
Are you really?
Yeah.
How much do you work out, dude? Because, like, you always look, like, jacked. What's up with this?
Dude, I was a piece of shit. I would like to show you photos.
I remember you.
Recently, I just kind of, like, let everything went really badly for me for, like, a year.
Right, right.
I started drinking again. I was, like, going out all the time. Uh-huh. And so just got my shit back together, like, in January. Quit drinking again. And I've been doing yoga, like, at least once a day, sometimes twice a day, along with, like, a little workout. This has only been like 2 months.
So that bachelor pad of yours put you back on the booze, huh?
Is that what happened?
Was it just being there and like having all the freedom?
It was the divorce.
Yeah.
It was like sadness and not having to deal with your feelings. And it was also on the flip side, holy shit, this is where I started drinking again, was Rochester, because I think I met a girl.
Brian Set?
No. He doesn't watch.
No. I actually close my eyes and wear earbuds. I met a girl, and it's really hard. Like, when you're – I had never dated without a couple glasses of wine. I was married for 16 years.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the hell I'm doing. And so I think I met a girl here that I kind of knew, and we went out or something. And I was like, I want to have, like, a glass of wine. And so I went back to having, like, a few glasses of wine a night, because it was like really fun with the dating stuff.
Yeah.
And then it quickly spiraled out of control to my old habits, and I had to go, all right, let's take a break again.
Okay. So you quit in January?
Yeah.
So we just missed out on fun, Jamie?
Dude, you just missed out. No. I'm the only person that drinks where alcoholics tell me I'm a better person when I drink. I swear to God, like, I know a guy who's a legitimate Alcoholics Anonymous, and he was like, I'm not supposed to tell you this, dude, but you're way more fun when you drink.
You're kidding me.
No, I swear to God.
The worst AA guy ever.
Hilarious.
Yeah, but I'm not like an AA guy. I'm just like a quit on my own guy.
Yeah, I'm like a guy.
Yeah.
Alcohol.
Just the A.
Yeah. So Jamie is going to be here for 4 more shows this weekend. Brian Ball will be joining him as his feature act.
Yes.
I believe the very funny Luke Fears, winner of last year's Roast Battles, is your MC.
Yeah.
So you will have a very good time. You get your tickets now, carlsoncomedy.com, or call 585-4-COMEDY to get those. Jamie, I got one last question for you, my man.
By the way, this Brian guy, hilarious. I know we joke around
about him.
You're great, man. You did great last night.
We put Brian over. We love Brian.
It was great. But sorry.
It's just our dynamic.
This not so good at. The stage part, pretty good at.
I feel like we didn't need to say that because they've heard that.
Yeah.
He's just going to tell you the taco story. He's just going to tell you all about
it. Great story.
Which he probably made up.
Yeah. There's no lady. He just said, if the fat lady fell right now, these people wouldn't laugh. I got to tell Vinny that.
I told that story on stage last night. Everybody laughed their asses off.
That's right.
I got a big applause from them.
Mm-hmm. You told that story on stage.
I tell quickly. I'm like, by the way, from Utah, fat lady falls, don't laugh.
So you're telling me you did your material on this show? Oh, Brian.
It's an actual thing that happened.
So, Brian got a shovel out, didn't he? Very funny. Go see Brian, Luke, and Jamie this weekend. Jamie, the final question for you, sir, is what's your next big goal, man? Like, you've lived all these things that you've wanted to do. What's your next goal? Like, what do you want to do?
I don't know, man. But with my new, I don't even know if I have one. I sort of feel like my new goal is to just be happy with where I'm at. I just spilled a bunch of water on my dick.
I wasn't going to say anything.
I don't know if
people
can see it on the thing. But I mean, it's literally. What's funny is that was my next big goal, to spill water on my dick on your podcast, and I've already accomplished it. It's funny.
Now I definitely want to get a picture next to him because he pissed his pants.
So I go back and forth. Like, I'd be lying if. Oh, thanks, man. I'd be lying if I said, like, I wish I could be in a movie with Schneider, in a movie with Sandler, like one of those guys. Where it helped like sell out comedy clubs and stuff. Like, I think that would be fun. But then I sometimes think, damn it, I love writing on Man with a Plan and going to yoga and seeing my kids a lot when I have 6 months off. Yeah. But so I don't know.
But the beautiful thing is they're not all mutually exclusive.
Right, right.
I think you can make that happen.
That's true. But I'm trying to be that thing because every time I get somewhere, the next step, which is my goal, I don't feel any happier. It's nice, but it doesn't make me happy. So I think I'm realizing I know that these things that I have goals won't, like, make me happier. These are just things we achieve. So my new goal is to try to be, like, super grateful and happy with, like, exactly what I'm doing.
Would they teach you that at yoga?
That's what they – my buddy Eckhart Tolle told me last night.
Your good friend Eckhart Tolle.
Eckhart Tolle. The power of now.
All right.
It's the present moment. Was that a shitty answer?
No, I think it was actually a good answer.
But if I went career goal, I'm gonna go be in a movie, be in another TV show, get to act again, because I did love acting.
Well,
and I get to practice it sometimes. Like when Brian was talking about a set, I acted like I had watched it.
Yeah, you acted like, hey, it's gonna be great. It's gonna be great. Jamie Lissau, come see him this weekend, folks. That's the end of the show. There is no stand-up news this week. We wish Ross Johnson the best with his coronavirus. Until the next episode, act right. We'll see you then.